So we've been going through the God questions, and there's so many questions that we have about God, about the Bible, about faith, about the journey, about this life, about everything that life throws at us. And what does it even mean? And why am I giving a Mother's Day, on Mother's Day, giving a message, what happens when I die? Colby, what are you doing, man? That's so depressing. Why would you do that? Why would you give a message, what happens when I die, on Mother's Day? Well, it's important to ask that question, right? But another question that's really important that I think a lot of us forget to ask is, what do I do when I live? But that's another sermon. A lot of times we're so focused on death and tragedy and difficulties that we forget about the life we're supposed to live now. And you may have wrestled with depression in your life. You may have wrestled with all sorts of things in your life. Difficult times, tragedy. Maybe you've caused the tragedy in the difficult times. Maybe other people have inflicted pain on you. I don't know where you've come and where you've been, but I know where God desires us to go. And you may say, that's such an ignorant, ludicrous statement that you could say that you know what God desires. And I would say, let's pray. God, give us clarity. Amen. Yes. Ecclesiastes says this: and the dust returns to the ground, and it came from where it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Now, there's this passage in Hebrews, and Hebrews 9:27 informs us, it is appointed unto men once to die. So every single person in here will die. This body will pass, right? Everybody agrees with that. That's something we can all agree on, right? I hope there's more, but we will all die. And it's a scientific fact that this body we are currently in is deteriorating, that there will be a day when our chest will no longer take a breath, our lungs will no longer expand, and our nostrils will no longer breathe in air. Our brain will stop sending millions of messages throughout our body. Millions of people will die in the United States alone this year. Few subjects interest people more than life after death. If you have ever watched any of these television shows, all over the place you see shows that reference the afterlife and all this other stuff, and throwing all these spiritual elements that hit you in all sorts of strange ways, and you may go, what was that? What did I just see there? Well, there's this great question that we already asked, but the other question is, where do we find the answer to the question? Turn in your Bibles to Luke 16, 19 through 31. So Luke 16, 19 through 31. If you have a Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, it's toward the back of the Bible. So Luke 16, 19 through 31. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not also come to the place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. I wonder why we have so many questions. I think the answer can be kind of simple in that God gave us a brain. He created us to use our intellect, our intelligence, and to ask questions and to be inquisitive and to ask tough questions, because how else are we going to find answers? But in regard to this, Job says, if a man dies, will he live again? This is a deep, profound question. And Job asked this question because it's one in which needs to be asked. And if we will live again, what does that even mean? And what does that look like? If a man dies, will he live again? Well, in Luke 16, 19, we see that we will be alive. When we die, this physical body dies, we will be alive. Have you ever thought of that? That you'll be alive? This may die, but you'll be alive? I don't know if you ever thought about that. But in this text, it's pretty clear that we will be alive. In verse 22, we see that both Lazarus and the rich man, they both had died, but both of them were alive. And both were standing there. And Lazarus was at the bosom of Abraham. And you may go, that is so weird. What a strange thing to say. Well, the reason why it says that is because this was written to a Jewish audience. And the Jewish people held Abraham up as the father, right? Father Abraham. And it was the most unbelievable, amazing, incredible thing that could happen. That they would go by the side of Abraham, by the bosom of Abraham, and he would embrace them. That is incredible to someone from a Jewish faith. Especially thinking that someone that was a beggar, that had no hope at all in life, that seemed like they had nothing, and now they find themselves at the bosom of Abraham. That is so incredibly profound, and we don't understand it in our modern day Christianity. But then when it was written, and who it was written to, it was profound. And the symbolism is incredible. I've been to quite a few funerals, and I've done a number of funerals over the years. And there's something that I've learned, whether rich or poor, whether you have friends of many or you have few, whether you have a jeweled casket or a pine box, whether your body, like this poor man, was thrown into the valley of Gehenna, that's likely where it went. And the rich man, the wealthy man, had this amazing, incredible funeral, likely with many, many mourners. And it's likely this poor man just got tossed into the pit. But something I've learned from all this is when death comes knocking at the door, every person is just as dead as the next person. There was a study recently in U.S. News and World Report. And it talked about, it pulled some people within some church circles. And here's some statistics. And 78% believe that there is a heaven. 60% believe there is a hell. Now, out of those who believe in an afterlife, 78% believe they have an excellent chance of going to heaven. 4% believe they have an excellent chance of going to hell. I've actually sat with people that have said, we've talked about spiritual matters, and they go, I'm going to hell anyway, so it doesn't matter. And I go, but it does. It definitely matters. It definitely matters. And I'm not sure where you sit today. I don't know your belief system. I've known people for a number of years, and then all of a sudden something strange comes out of their mouth, and I'm like, I never even knew them. That was so bizarre, like a spiritual matter that was just so out of the ordinary, so strange and odd that I couldn't understand. Like, I was like, I thought I knew them, but I guess I don't. God knows our hearts, though. And in verse 22 through 23, both Lazarus and the rich man, they survived death. You may say, that doesn't make any sense at all. How can you survive death? Well, because we have a soul. This is not just a body. We're not just a shell. This is, we are, if we are believers, followers of the way, this is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you don't follow the way, if you don't follow after Jesus, this body, it's not an empty shell. You have a soul. You have a soul. I have a soul. We have a soul. So no matter where we find ourselves, you can make a chart and put spiritual, someone that's down here, not very spiritual, someone that's way up here. We all have a soul. It doesn't matter where you find yourself on any chart that you make. Each one of us sitting here today has a soul. And that matters. That matters tremendously. So your soul will not sleep. We can have confidence that the Word of God, when it talks about things in the afterlife, that it's true. And in Matthew 17:3, we find Moses and Elijah still alive, even though they had died many years before. And then in Hebrews 12:1, we see a great cloud of witness. And does anyone know what that great cloud of witness is? It's the saints that have come before us. And some of us may have some confusion. Some of us may go, well, I'll never be a saint. Did you know in the scriptures, it calls you a saint if you're a believer in Jesus, a follower of Jesus? If that's not the coolest thing, I'm a saint. That's crazy. I'm not a saint. Because we have this misconception about what a saint is. We think it's someone that has achieved great things in life, and they're looked at by other people, and they achieve sainthood. I want to tell you, if you come to this place in your life where the Spirit convicts your heart and you embrace Christ as your Lord and your Savior and your God and your Redeemer and your Healer and your coming King, then guess what? You are now a saint. Someone's going to try to throw something at me. But you are now a saint. And that has impact on who we each are as individuals and corporately. In Ephesians 2:1, speaking to the living, and you were dead in your trespasses and your sins. See, we were dead in our trespasses and our sins. If you have discovered God, the old is gone, the new has come. You're dead in your trespasses and your sins. How many of us could say that we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? I will raise both my hands up and say, yes, that is me. Okay? So I would say all of us in here are not perfect. And if you say you're perfect, well, right? I don't think there's anybody in here that would say they're perfect. Maybe. Like I said, I don't know all your theological thought processes or your philosophical ideas or ideologies. But I would say that if you thought you were perfect, ask your mama. She will tell you otherwise. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. John 11, 25 through 26. So we see that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. If we believe in him, we shall live even if we die. Whoa, man, that's deep. We shall live even if we die. See, we will die, but we live, and we can have life, and we can have eternal life, and we will have eternal life. It's just a matter of where. So when we die, the second thing is we will be conscious. We will know what's going on. You may say, that is scary, man. I thought I was just going to be in this heavenly bliss. Maybe after a little while we are, but it's pretty clear that 5 seconds after you die, 5 minutes after you die, whatever it may be, that there is this time in which we know what's going on. Like, whoa. Why am I down here being tormented? Why is he up there? I'm confused. What's going on here? This is confusing. I don't like this. It's very hot down here. I need water, right? He calls out and says, he says, can you just have Lazarus dip his finger in some water and put it on my tongue? Please. It's so stinking hot. Have you ever been in a place where you just could not stop sweating? And you got so stinking thirsty. Maybe you've been dehydrated in your life. It is not a fun experience. Seems like that's what was going on with the rich man in this particular text. And then we see in Luke 16, 25, but Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things. Well, Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. We're still conscious of our past. When we pass from this life, we're still conscious of our past. Like, we know what's gone on in our past. And like I said, I don't know if, like, in heaven, when we pass from this life, that after a while, that all flees and we're just so enthralled and amazed in the incredibleness of God. That, like, the author C.S. Lewis talked about heaven, and he said that heaven is like, God's love is so abundant that you can't do anything but just like fall face down and worship God. And I think that maybe God's love is so profound, but maybe in the very beginning stages, we recognize and we remember our past and we kind of reflect on our past and we wrestle through our past and we're like, man, what are we going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? And in the afterlife, the rich man realizes, and I want us to recognize this, that he's not where he is because he was rich. He's where he is because what he chose to believe. You may be a multi-billionaire. You may feel like you're the poorest person in the house. God doesn't look at that. He looks at our hearts. We will be conscious of the present. We'll know what's going on right now, right here, right now. Lazarus was now in paradise, yet the rich man found himself tormented. And some of us may say, you don't understand, Colby. You don't know what's gone on in my life. I've lived a life of torment. I've lived a life of pain. I've lived a life of sorrow. I'm living in Hades right now. I wonder if you would see things a bit differently if you came to the place of surrender. And you may not even have a clue what I'm talking about. But it's kind of like we're living our own lives and doing what we want to do. But when we come to this place where we say, all right, God, here I am. I surrender. I give up. Here I am, God. And I commit myself to you. It's not about me anymore. It's about you. I want to live for you. I want to discover life change. When that happens, the paradigm shift begins. And the transformation process happens. And we begin to have this mind and heart shift. And we discover what love really is. And when we discover what love really is, we look at life differently. Have you ever met some... I want to start walking. Have you ever met somebody that you were around them and you just sensed this incredible, profound love? Wouldn't you say that that's a person that you want to be around more? Like, you just sense that they genuinely care about you. I found somebody like that in my life. Her name is Stacy, and I like her. That's my wife, in case you're wondering. And I remember the first time I met her. I was like, this girl cares about me. She doesn't really know me. But then over the years, I discovered this, like, this amazing... Not only is she a great mama, but she's a great lady. And when she connects with people, and you may know her, she just genuinely cares about people. And she's a testament on what God can do in somebody's life. God has done amazing things in her life. And I've been blessed to be a part of that journey with her. And I know that God can do amazing, profound, abundant things in each one of our lives individually and corporately. And we ask the question, what happens after we die? But what's happening when we're living? What is our life looking like now? Well, our conscious survives physical death. So if that happens, our conscious is surviving this physical death, then what does that conscience look like? Conscience look like? I can't even talk this morning. Somebody help me. There's this third thing. We will be with Christ. Oh, I heard a couple amens there. We will be with Christ. In verse 22, it tells us that Lazarus was carried up by the angels to Abraham's bosom. It means his side right here, like really close. If you're ever a kid and you got hurt and your mom or dad picked you up and held you close and you just cried right here. And maybe that happened to you. Maybe you cried right here on mama or dad. You're right at the side, right there. Well, do you remember those statistics? 78% of churchgoers believed there was a heaven. 4% believed that they're likely going to hell. And then that leaves 18% of people, even sitting right here today, that have no idea what's going to happen after this is all over. Well, the Bible clearly teaches that we can know our eternal place. 1 John 5:12 through 13. Let's read this together. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Let's read this one as well. This is John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my words and believes, is crossed over from death to life. There was this show that was on television a few years ago called Crossing Over. And some of you may know it. And it's this guy that says he's a psychic and he knows all these things about, and he connects with dead people and all this stuff. Well, I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that crossed over, this is what it's about. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. That's what crossing over is. It's not this psychic trying to figure out things about us and dead people and all this and communicate. A lot of that stuff has to do with demonization and all that other stuff, but we can get into that another time. But what we're talking about today is this, that there's this eternal place. And there's these two eternal places. And you may have been taught as a young child that there's a purgatory. Well, according to this particular text, there's absolutely no purgatory. Some of you may be going, but I've heard that my whole life. It is not in the Bible. It is nowhere in the Bible. We cannot find purgatory anywhere in the 66 books of the Tanakh or the New Testament. We just can't find it. So, there's one of two places we end up. And this is hard stuff. This is not easy to preach because people don't like to hear this stuff. Some people go, amen, brother, preach that. But others will go, who are you to judge? Who are you to condemn? Who are you to say these things? I'm nobody special. I'll admit that. But you know what? God can speak through all of us. And if we get into this word and discover and dissect it and challenge each other, we'll be able to understand the Bible more and more. There's this fourth thing. Our earthly opportunities will be gone forever. Did you notice that there, once death comes, our earthly opportunities are gone? We can't do anything about what happens after we die. In verse 28, we learn that the rich man had five brothers. I would say we can think of five brothers today. Maybe you don't have five brothers. Maybe a friend, family, maybe somebody else in your life that, you know, when you pass, you just hope that they come to understand who God is. And we have five brothers among us today. And our earthly opportunities will be gone. It's not about living a silent life that we think we're showing people who God is. Sometimes we need to speak up and communicate who God is. I would say a lot of times we do. He became so concerned because he knew where he was and he knew where his brothers were going to end up. And if we end up in a place in which is not a good place for eternity, wouldn't you want your friends and family not to end up there? But he could not do anything. There was nothing that could be done. And when we pass from this life, there's absolutely nothing that can be done. We make our choices, our decisions right now where we sit today. And what are our choices going to be? For I have five brothers. Let him warn them. He's talking about Lazarus. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. He says torment multiple times. It's nothing to laugh about, but it's not a place that any of us want to be. And a lot of people do say that there's no hell because no one wants to think that there could be a place like that. And there's others that would say, how could God ever allow a place like that? God allows, he can allow anything, but ultimately, humans chose to do what they did. Lucifer chose to do what he did and fell from the graces of God and became who he is. And the enemy is now our enemy. And desire is walking around like a rope. I was just about to walk. He's walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. Whoa. Oh boy. What does that mean for us? What does it mean for a people that are trying to figure out who God is? What does that look like? It's important to ask these questions, and it's important to figure out what is going on in our own lives. But We must tell the world about Jesus. It's not just, hey, nice to meet you, and be a friendly person. There's a big difference, right? Maybe you don't know who God is today. Maybe you've come here because mama brought you. I know my mom used to bring family members on Mother's Day. And even if if she was kind of their mom, because they didn't have a mom, she would bring them to church on Mother's Day. Say, you're my child, even though you're not my child. We had a lot of those people that my mom was connected with. And she would bring them to church on Mother's Day. And you may come because mama brought you or grandma brought you. But I want to tell you, just because grandma or mama brought you today, I want to tell you this, that God brought you here. You may think it was grandma or mom who invited you and you felt obligated to come. But guess what? God had a divine appointment for you this morning. And you can take that as you will. But what does that mean for you and for me? He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Someone has risen from the dead, has conquered death, has risen in victory, and has conquered death so we don't have to face eternal death. And that someone that we come and gather here this morning, that someone is Jesus. And you may say, he's talking about Jesus too much. I'm never coming back to this church. I'll never be back because this is annoying. In my church, when I go to church every once a year, they only say God. They never say Jesus. I want to tell you that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He is. And you may be ticked off at what I'm saying right now. And you may go, who is this freak speaking right now? I want to walk out of here, but I can't because my mother made me come. Hang with me. This is the last one, so we're almost done. Our destinies will be fixed for eternity. We determine our destiny in this life. Would you agree with that? That our choices, our decisions determine where we're going to be in the next year, in the next month, in the next week, in the next 10 years. Our choices, even the small ones, determine where we're going to be and who we're going to be and how we're going to be who we're going to be. And in Luke 16, 26, and besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. There is this great chasm. There's a great chasm fixed. There's people, us sinful people, and there's God, this holy God. And how do we ever, ever, ever bridge the gap between us sinful people and God? How do we ever bridge that? Because we are sinners. There are two destinies. Jesus said in John 5, 28 through 29, do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming in which all who are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Those who did good to a resurrection of life. Those who committed evil to a resurrection of judgment. This is what bridges the great chasm, the great divide. This great chasm that has been formed by sin. And there needs to be a gap. There needs to be something to fill the gap. And Christ, death on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, allows that gap to be bridged if we believe in him. And so, are you here, right? People, sin. Sin, rebellion, separation. Or are you here with the holy God? Peace, forgiveness, abundant life. Have you discovered that? Have you come to this place where peace, forgiveness, abundant life is what you're living now? Not that you have a perfect life, that nothing ever bad happens, but have you discovered peace, forgiveness, and an abundant life? Has that gap been bridged by a Savior who has come for you and for me that can free us from the bondage and captivity of sin? So we've learned we will be alive, we will be conscious, we will be with Christ, our earthly opportunities will be gone forever, and our destinies will be fixed for eternity. Some of you may be wrestling with this chasm that has fixed. And you may say, how in the world could I ever? I'm never going to be good enough. You don't know what I've done in my life. I want to tell you today that none of us is good enough. The only thing that makes us good enough is the death and the resurrection of Jesus. That blood that was shed on a tree for the forgiveness of you and for me. I just rhymed. But really, Christ died for you and for me, once for all humanity, once for all. His death brings us life. His death brings us hope. His resurrection brings us tremendous hope. And not only that, it enables us to live in the power of the resurrection. And you may say, what is that? Well, it means that we're no longer concerned with this death thing, that we know the life thing, and we know that Christ poured out himself. And now we have a new life and a new hope and a new joy and a new peace if we're in Christ. I'm going to close out. You can come forward, play some music. I'm going to pray this prayer. And you may be at a place in your life where you've wrestled through so much and you've questioned God so much. And you wondered about, is this true? Is that true? What do I believe? Where do I find myself here? I mean, am I still living in sin and rebellion and separation? Or have I come to this place where, you know what? I'm at the end of my rope right now, and I want to know God. I want to discover this joy, this hope, and this peace that can be found in no other place. And you may have hunted for it your whole life. You may have been wrestling through it your whole life. But God's calling out and saying, yeah, grandma or mama brought you here. But I want to do a new thing in you. I want to make your life different. I want to change you and renew you and restore you and redeem you and heal all of that brokenness and all the burdens that you've carried for so long. Let me heal you and redeem you and restore you. But no, we hang on and we cling on to the garbage and the debris of our past. And we can't let God take it. But today, may God break us. May He break us from all the past junk and all the past debris and all the hurts and the pains and the issues that we've had for so long. And may God break our hearts and allow them to be filled with abundant joy and peace and hope. Let's pray. If you desire to receive Christ this morning, pray this to yourself as I pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you right now. And I realize that I'm a sinner. And that chasm has separated me from you. Lord God, I ask, Father, that you will break me this morning and fill me with the power of your Spirit. And I believe this very day that on that cross, that your blood was shed for me, that your side was pierced for me, and that you were buried in a tomb. And on the third day, that you rose. And Lord, I believe this day that you conquered death so I don't have to face eternal death. That I can have eternal life in you. Lord, I embrace that now. All my past garbage and debris, Lord, that you'll take it and you'll free me. I ask for freedom, God, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Father, fill me with your freedom. Fill me with your peace. Fill me with your joy. Fill me with your hope. Fill me to overflow with your love. Lord, I pray for your divine love to fall upon me even right now. Lord God, fall upon us right now. Your powerful, overwhelming, overflowing love. Allow us to break free from the bondage of the past. If you prayed to receive Jesus this morning, I ask that you just look up at me for a second. I want to pray over you. Lord God, I pray over my brothers and sisters. And Lord, they may be new to the faith. They may have embraced you for the first time this morning, God. And I just pray over them, God. And I ask, oh Lord, that your Spirit will fall powerfully upon them, oh God. And Lord, allow them to experience the revitalization work that you have for them in their lives. And God, just move in power, God, and renew and restore and allow redemption to overflow, Lord. Lord, I just ask, Lord, that your resurrection power, God, will be at work even this morning. And Lord, that power will overflow in our hearts and our lives and our minds and transform us. May we not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds so we will be able to attest your good, your pleasing, and your perfect will, O God, our Lord and our Redeemer. Amen.